Maybe we'll jump right in with the first source, the Rambam Paragvav Hilchos Tshuva, where the Rambam tackles two questions which arise in conjunction with what the Torah tells us, that Kiani Hechbadati Aslivo, V'chizakti Aslivo, V'ani Aksha Aslivo. Rambam writes, V'efshu Sheyechta Odom Chet Godol O Chatoim Rabim. In HaKadosh Baruch Hu's system of reward and punishment, the Rambam says it's possible that a person could be guilty, Rachmana Litzlan, of one single colossal avera, or it could be the cumulative effect of many averas. Lav dafka that any one of them was of such overwhelming magnitude, but the cumulative effect of chatoim rabim. Ad sheyiten hadin lefnei dayan ha'emes, until such that divine justice dictates, sheyehe ha'piraon mizeh ha'chote al chatoim elu, that the retribution for these sins, or the one overwhelming sin that the person is guilty of, sheosa b'rtzono umidaita, that the person did voluntarily, knowingly, shemonin mimenu ha'tshuva, that he is prevented from doing tshuva. He's deprived, ve'ein manichem ha'reshus, he's no longer given the ability, the capacity, lashuv me'risha, to repent from his evil. The reason for this is kadei sheyomuz v'yoved v'cheto sheyasa, or sheasa, so that he will die and perish as a result of his sin. Hu she'HaKadosh Baruch Hu amar yidei Yeshayahu, hashmein lev ha'am hazeh. The way the Rambam understands this pasuk, the hashmein lev ha'am hazeh, isn't a description that they have put themselves in this situation of being callous and insensitive, hashmein lev ha'am hazeh, but rather HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying, I'm imposing, it's not self-imposed, the way the Rambam reads the pasuk, I'm imposing this state, this existential state upon them of hashmein lev ha'am hazeh. The rest of the pasuk is pen yireh ve'einov, because otherwise maybe they would wake up and v'shav v'rafalo, and maybe they would do tshuva and they would have the refuah represented by tshuva, and they no longer deserve that opportunity. V'chein hu omer, the Rambam sees this midah of divine justice reflected in another pasuk in Navi, Vayu malivim b'malachei ha'lokim uvozim dvar u'misateim b'neviyav, that they were guilty of insulting, of scorning, of mocking the words of HaKadosh Baruch Hu conveyed to them, such that, to such a degree, that ad alos chamas Hashem ba'apo, until they kaviyochel incited the wrath of HaKadosh Baruch Hu against his people, ad la'ein marpeh, to such a point that it was beyond the point of return, to the point of no return. There was no longer a marpeh, there was no longer a refuah. Klomar, says the Rambam, what the pasuk in Divrei Hayamim means is chatu b'ritzonam, willingly they sinned, v'hirvu l'fshoa, and did so again, repeatedly, ad sheneschayvu limnoa mehen hatshuva sheha marpeh, until their culpability is such, their liability is such, that they forfeited the right to do tshuva, which is the cure. L'fichach kasuv b'Torah, v'ani achazek es leif paro. And that's the perspective we're supposed to have in the pasuk in Chumash, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that he's going to harden the heart of Paro. If yishachata me'atzmo t'chila, Paro had initially already sinned, v'hera li Yisrael ha'gorim ba'artzo, shenei mahova nischaknalo. Nosan hadin, divine justice, dictated limnoa ha'tshuva mimenu ad shenifra mimenu. Divine justice dictated that his opportunity, his capacity to do tshuva, be taken away, so that he would be punished. So that's the first question the Rambam tackles, that Paro is not being punished for what he does subsequent losing his bechira, but on the contrary, he's being punished for what he did previously, and the loss of bechira is the punishment. Again, the punishment which ultimately culminates with his demise. Now the Rambam tackles a second question that arises as well. V'lama ha'yasholech l'biyad Moshe v'omesh shlach v'asei tshuva. I mean, seemingly it looks like some kind of charade, right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is sending Moshe Rabbeinu. He's telling him, go to Paro and make these demands for Paro, deliver these ultimatums to Paro, and Paro is not in a position to respond. So it would seem pointless. So what's that all about? V'lama yishalech l'v'yad Moshe v'emu shlach v'asei tshuva u'kva amal HaKadosh Baruch Hu en ato mishalayach. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu had even communicated this to Paro. Shenema va'ata va'avodecha yadati. I think that the pasuk continues at the end of Va'era, ki terem tirun es Hashem Elokim. And the way the Rambam reads the pasuk, which is more in line with the Ramban's reading of the pasuk than Rashi's, is that I know that you will not ever fear Hashem. Not just that you haven't done it until this point, but I know that you will not ever fear Hashem. So says the Rambam, the Torah itself provides the answer to this second question. V'ulam, right, this next pasuk that the Rambam is quoting from Parshas Va'era is he's quoting as the answer to the question. V'ulam bavu azos ha'maticha. So how does the pasuk go? Leman haroscha eskochi, uleman saper shemi b'chol haaretz. That instead of just, right, the previous pasuk, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, ki ato shalachti es yadi v'ach oscha ves amcha badove v'tikochi min haaretz. That if all I wanted to accomplish, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, is to punish you, so I could, right now, you could have died in Makas Dever. You could have died in that plague. Ulam, Bavu Zos HaMaticha, why am I sustaining your life? Why am I prolonging your life? Leman Saper Shmi B'chol Ha'aretz. Says the Rambam, what does that mean? What is it that will become known throughout the world. Kedei lehodia levoi ha'olam shebizman shemoneh HaKadosh Baruch Hu hatshuva lachotei einu yochu loshuv el yomuz berisho she'osa betchila v'tzona. Because had HaKadosh Baruch Hu simply done away with Paro at this point, so then we would not have seen this midah in action. We wouldn't have seen that HaKadosh Baruch Hu in extreme cases will deprive a person of his bechira. By Bavu Zos HaMaticha, by sustaining Paro, by allowing him to continue to live, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu through that thereby is Modia Levoi HaOlam. We see this midah in action. Now, from the Rambam's presentation here in the Yad, so, in terms of what was the need for this? Again, so the reason HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends Moshe Rabbeinu, and sends Moshe Rabbeinu basically offering Paro to save his life, to save his own skin. And Paro can't take him up on that offer, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu is thereby Modia Levoi HaOlam, that, again, in extreme situations, he takes away a person's bechira. Why is that so important for us to know? What is it that we're supposed to learn from that? So the truth is, just from the way the Rambam presents it here in the Yad, one could think that the Torah teaches us what the midos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu are, and the Torah wants us to know that part of the system of Socha Va'onesh includes this midah as well. The same way the Torah tells us, V'nake lo yanake, and poked avon ovo salbonim al shileshim v'alibayim. So maybe that's what the Torah has in mind here as well. We should know that this midah also exists within HaKadosh Baruch Hu's system of reward and punishment. But the way the Rambam presents it in Shemona Pakim, we're doing it in reverse chronological order. He had written Shemona Pakim first. So the Rambam clearly is saying, at the very least, something additional, if not something different. There's a different emphasis here. If you take a look in the bottom paragraph here of source number two, I will say. Until now, so the Rambam just here in the Shemona Pakim addressed the first question, that Paro and the Mitzrayim were not punished for what happened subsequent to their losing their Bechira. They weren't punished for not letting Bnei Yisrael go. They were punished for all the years of the oppression beforehand. Then the Rambam says, V'im Tomer, do you see that bottom paragraph in source 2, I will say, V'im Tomer, V'lama darash mimenu l'shaleach es Yisrael pa'am achar pa'am v'hu manu amizah. What was the point of it? If he's unable to do so, why send him that message? Why deliver that ultimatum? V'hoyucholos olav hamakos, v'hu omeid b'mi'uno, k'mosha amanu shehu nenesh b'sheyamud b'mi'uno. He couldn't do anything other than remain firm in his refusal. So therefore, l'chorev lohoya lo lidrash mimenu lashav ma'ashen yochel asosa. So it would seem to be in vain to make demands when the person cannot comply. Answers the Rambam, hine zagam ken hoya l'chochma me'es Hashem. L'hodi'o ki im yirtza Hashem levatel b'chiraso yivatla. Right? So far the same answer, right? That HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to know that if he wants to, he can suspend a person's bechira. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Paro, I'm going to demand from you that you send them. And were you to comply, you could be saved. But you won't, and you're going to perish. Paro, from his end, v'hoyotzoruchu lahaskim. Paro, everything in Paro wanted that he should agree to the demands, so that kidei laharos hepech tainas hanovi shehu manu milahaskim, and that way he could have refuted what Moshe Rabbeinu was saying. V'lohoyoyochel, he couldn't. Now here comes the line which doesn't really have an analog in the Yad, where the Rambam tells us why HaKadosh Baruch Hu is interested in us knowing. V'hoyo b'zem mofez gadol. Mufursam eitzel kol b'nei adam, k'mosha amar, the Rambam says, it's not me, it's the Pasuk, u'leman sapesh shmi b'chol ha'aretz. So here, there's an emphasis that, for whatever reason, doesn't necessarily come across in the Yad, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to be aware of this miracle. The emphasis is not so much on knowing about this midah within the system of Sachar Va'Onesh, as much as it is, again, the same way the Esa Makos, so each makah is each miraculous makah is designed to teach us, to demonstrate. So too, that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to know that a person can lose his bechira. We should witness that miracle. V'hoya b'zem mofez gadol, mufursam, eitzel kol b'nei ha'odam, k'mo she'amel l'man sapesh mi b'chol ha'aretz, she'efsho she'Hashem yanosh odam b'she'yimna mimenu bechiras po elma, v'yeda hu b'zeh. Right, the Rambam says that, again, he elicits this from the Pesuk, and Paro knows what's going on. It's not that Paro loses his bechira in the sense that he doesn't want to comply. But the moshel is, imagine a person is driving in a car, and the car is headed straight towards a cliff, and he's going to go over the cliff. And he sees what's happening. He sees what's happening, and he knows exactly what the consequences are. So he realizes that all he has to do to save himself is move his foot from the accelerator to the brake, and press on the brake, and everything will be fine. And he wants to do that, And he's trying to do that, and the message that his brain is sending to the leg, to the foot, is to move from the accelerator to the brake, and instead, he feels himself pressing down on the accelerator. That's what's happening with Paro, the Rambam says. Again, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him, Ulam Bavu Zos Hemeticha, Terim Tirun. Paro's being told. Paro wants to say, yes, go, Baruch Shev Tarani, and instead, he hears himself saying, no, Al Tosef Eos Panai, Ki Biyom Eos Panai Tomus. Paro knows what's happening. And the reason the Torah recreates and depicts this scene for us is because it's a Mofez Gadol. So here the question, which we want to just think about a little bit together, is what's the significance of this miracle? What is it that we're supposed to learn from this miracle, which isn't demonstrated, which isn't communicated by all the other miracles associated with Yetzias Mitzrayim? Tetzach, Hadash, Ba'achav. With all those miracles, there's something which is being communicated by this Mofez Gadol, Mufursam Eitzel B'nai Adam. There's a message which isn't to be heard, which isn't to be derived from all the other miracles. So what is it? What's the significance? If you picked up the supplementary sheet as well, if you take a look at source 6a, so the Rambam throughout Perikei of Hilchos Tshuva and in the previous three halachas has been talking about the principle of Bechira Chofshes. He says it's the axiomatic principle of all of Torah, that a person has complete freedom of decision and action. And the Rambam says that the moral, philosophical argument that proves so compellingly that this has to be true, Ilu hakel ha-yegoza al ha-odam li-os tzadik or rasha. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu would decree that a person be a tzaddik or a rasha, or there would be something in his genetic code that would dictate that the person go on a certain path in life, that he cultivates certain beliefs, that he cultivates certain character traits, that he engage in certain actions. If this were genetically dictated, determined, kemosha bodim milibam hatipshim hove shamayim, as the ignorant astrologers imagine, so how can HaKadosh Baruch Hu command us via the agency of the Nevi'im? Do this, don't do this. Heitivu darcheichem, improve your ways. V'altelchu acharei v'shachem. V'hu mitchilas b'yosok for nigzar alav. O toldoso timshoch, oso ledove she'ef shalosos mimenu. If there's already been some, if his fate has already been preordained, or there's genetic determinism, so what's the point? And what's more, the Rambam says, Umam mokum hoya l'chol ha-Torah kula. So why do you have all of Torah mitzvahs is becomes irrelevant, Rachman al-Otzlan? And ube'eza din, ube'eza mishpat, nifra men ha-rosha, mashalim schala tzadik. And how would it be just for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to reward the tzadik and to punish the rosha if everything is preordained? Hashofet kol aretz layaseh mishpat. It's unthinkable, it's inconceivable. Now, says the Rambam, but maybe you'll push back with a different philosophical argument buttressed by a pasuk in Tehillim. Va'al tisma v'talma heich yiyeh ha'odem osa kol ma sheyachbo tzviyu ma'isav mesurim lo. How is it possible that we really do have bechira? And that we have complete discretion over what we do, וכי יעשה או וכי יעשה בעולם דבר שלא ברשוס קונו ולא חפצו? Is it possible that anything happens in the world that HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't will? Ritzon Hashem, the world exists because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wills it to exist. So by definition, doesn't that mean that in every corner of the Bria, Ritzon Hashem is reflected and expressed? So if a person has the Bechira to go against the Torah Rachman HaLitzlan, so seemingly that means that what's happening in the world is not a reflection, is not an expression of Ritzon Hashem. And how can that be? That would also seem to be something which is impossible to fathom. V'hakotzuv omer, and Dovid HaMelech says in Tehillim kol shechofetz Hashem osa b'shamayim u'ba'aretz. Everything b'shamayim u'ba'aretz, everything which happens b'shamayim u'ba'aretz is ashechofetz Hashem, is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wills, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu desires. So doesn't that preclude bechira? Answers the Rambam, no, both are true. Da shehakol kechefzo ye'ose, ve'yase, ve'af alpi shema'aseinu mesurin lanu. There is no contradiction between the two. Ein hachanami, Ritzon Hashem is reflected, expressed in every detail, in everything that happens, even though we have unmitigated bechira. How is that possible? Ketzer. Kishem shehayotze chafetz liyos ha'esh v'haruach olam lamayla. The same way, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Creator, the Rambam is talking about the Dalet Yesodos, Eish Ruach Mayim Ofa, and talking about their inherent properties, right? So when you light a flame, so the flame jumps upward, right? That's the nature of fire, right? You don't see the flame jumping downward, it jumps upward. Okay, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's what He wills. That's what He embedded in natural law, in the Bria. V'hamayim v'oretz yodim l'mata, and gravity means that if you have mayim and oretz, so then they're gonna gravitate downwards. And Kadosh Baruch Hu wills that. That's how they should function. V'hagalgal sovev be'igol, and the sphere moves in a circular motion. V'chein she'or b'riyos ha'olam liyos k'minhagen she'chavitz bo. And everything in the world that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created, everything is conducted, everything acts as HaKadosh Baruch Hu wills. Kacha, says the Rambam, Chofetz liyo sa'odim b'shusa v'yada. It's Ritzon Hashem that we should have unmitigated bechira. And therefore, yes, in a very paradoxical sense, even when a person abuses that gift of bechira, that's also Ritzon Hashem. Right, because it's Ritzon Hashem that people should be Baalei Bechira. And that, the Rambam says, is the cause of Ashlishi, between, on the one hand, that it's Ritzon Hashem that sustains the Bria, and therefore it's Ritzon Hashem that must be reflected and expressed throughout the Bria. Me'idach Gisa, we have unlimited Bechira, the freedom to discern, to decide, and to choose. And the cause of Ashlishi between those two is because that gufa is the Ritzon Hashem. It's as if HaKadosh Baruch Hu signs a blank check for us and says, I want you to be able to do what you want to do. Kacha chafetz liyo sa'odim v'shusa v'yado v'chol ma'isav mesurin lo v'lo yiela lo kofa v'lo moshech. There should be no one coercing him, no one dragging him, no one exerting some irresistible force of attraction in a certain direction. Elohim may atzma ubadaito shanasa mohakel osa kol shadam yochalasa. So that's how the Rambam explains that. That's how one integrates again the two yesodos of that we have unlimited bechira on the one hand, on the other hand, kol shachafetz Hashem osa b'shamayim uba'aretz, that Ritzon Hashem is reflected and expressed throughout the Bria. Miracles come to demonstrate Yesodos HaEmunah. That they prove, they demonstrate Yesodos HaEmunah for us. Dom, Svadeya, Kinem, all the Esser Makos. The Esser Makos demonstrated that one could have thought either of two things, right? And the Ramban, again, as you recall in Parshas Bo, says that there were such schools of thought. One could have thought, Rachmana Litzlan, one could have advocated an atheistic approach. The world just exists without a Borei Olam. Or, Rachmana Litzlan, one could have advocated an approach that is a Borei Olam, but everything that he causes is out of necessity. And because of that, the laws of nature, according to either approach, would be inexorable, right? If either they exist on their own, so there's no one who can override them, or if it's not HaKadosh Baruch Hu acting voluntarily, but it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu just acting out of necessity, because his essence implies or dictates this, so again, the laws of nature, either way, are going to be inviolable, inexorable. So when water turns into blood, when the tzvardim come out of the river, etc. So we see that no, there's a Ribono Shel Olam, and the laws of nature, they're not there out of necessity. They're not inviolable. They're not inexorable. HaKadosh Baruch Hu put them into place. HaKadosh Baruch Hu overrides them as He sees fit. The question, okay, you can't extrapolate, here's the point of Rosa, you can't extrapolate from there to the realm of human behavior. The question that if one wants to demonstrate that the Chukei HaTeva, a demonstration that the Chukei HaTeva express and reflect Ritzon Hashem, doesn't carry over to the human realm, because no one thinks that the sun is a voluntary agent, right? So we know that the sun doesn't decide every morning to plan its itinerary and decide I'll begin in the east and I'll end up in the west and I'll make such an arc in the sky. No one thinks the sun is a voluntary agent. What one might think, again, that the sun is an involuntary agent, the world just exists on its own, Rachmana Litzlan. One might think, no, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, out of necessity, has to have the sun functioning that way. That's what his essence implies. Comes a miracle, and Yehoshua has the sun, and the sun stops in the middle of its arc across the sky. So then, we're shown that nature is not autonomous, nature is not inexorable. It's there as a reflection of its own Hashem. But you could still think, in terms of demonstration, that wouldn't tell you that one could still think, yeah, but we're Bali Bechira. So the natural world is a reflection and expression of its own Hashem. But how do you know that even in the human arena, that even in human affairs, everything is an expression and reflection of its own Hashem? All the other miracles don't imply anything about that. You can't extrapolate from miracles where HaKadosh Baruch Hu, again, overrides the Chukei HaTeva to the human realm. Because the question in the human realm is that l'chora there, isn't there a vacuum? Isn't there a void there where Itaka isn't a reflection and an expression of its own Hashem? So the Rambam gave us the answer. But how do you have a miracle that demonstrates that? The Esser Makos don't demonstrate that. Again, the fact that the Chukei HaTeva reflect its own Hashem, so that's demonstrated by the Esser Makos. And the Esser Makos proves that about the entire Bria, but there's one area that the Esser Makos don't touch upon. The Esser Makos don't tell you that when a person exercises his Bechira, that too is just an expression of its own Hashem. Because all the Esser Makos just prove, again, is that the natural order is willingly, voluntarily ordained by Hashem. You can't extrapolate from there to people who are Bali Bechira. That's why the miracle of the suspension of Paro's Bechira is so important. That's why there's a message in that miracle that can't be inferred from all the other miracles. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu suspends someone's Bechira, so now we know that just as the motion of the, what we perceive as the motion of the sun, the motion of the earth, just as all the everything that happens in the natural world, when that's overridden, so then you realize that it's just an expression of Etzon Hashem. So too, in order to know that human Bechira is an expression of Etzon Hashem, you have to see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can suspend that at will as well. And that's what's, again, unique and singular to this miracle that couldn't be inferred, that couldn't have been derived from all the other miracles. And is that clear about Sashant?
Why shouldn't it be conceived as a makis that there's a reaction when you don't listen to what Hashem said? Isn't that a proof?
It would just prove, again, let's say if HaKadosh Baruch Hu would just have killed Paro without going through this stage where Paro is reduced to being a puppet. So one would know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is stronger than Paro, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can end Paro's life. But it wouldn't tell us, but we would, on the contrary, everything Paro did is because he created a vacuum in the world, which wasn't Ritzon Hashem, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu is responding to it. But if HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to respond to that, so then that concedes, Rachmanu Litzlan, that there's a reality of there being a void in the world, of there being a corner in the world which doesn't express Ritzon Hashem. And what the yesod to understand is, again, it's paradoxical, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wills that we should have Bechira even if we abuse it. But the point is to understand that, and to understand that Rachmanu Litzlan, again, in that paradoxical sense, even when a person is abusing his Bechira, it doesn't mean that now there's a void in the world. In terms of, no, the whole world can exist and only exists because it reflects and expresses Ritzon Hashem. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't will it, then nothing can be. You can, in order to demonstrate that, so you need a special demonstration about Bali Bechira. All the miracles where HaKadosh Baruch Hu shows his control over nature shows that the natural order is a reflection of Ritzon Hashem. But what about human Bechira? So the same way I know the natural order is a reflection of Ritzon Hashem when HaKadosh Baruch Hu suspends it, so too I know that in the human arena that Bechira is an expression of Ritzon Hashem when HaKadosh Baruch Hu suspends that. But you can't extrapolate from one to the other. No, not.
It's more of a degree. It's a greater degree. But when I was arguing with
that. No, but it's.
If you don't do what a Shem says, in the human sphere, Kurt Brooke was showing that he has power over.
No, but Moshe Ma'adav Adam, let's say you have a school, and the school has rules. And for certain things, there's zero tolerance in the school. Rachmanu Litzlan for drinking or drugs or cheating, Rachmanu Litzlan. And a student violates one of those rules. So the principal, Belaz Beira, has to expel him. That doesn't prove that, on the contrary, the fact that that's all he can do. All he can do is sort of react. And with a disciplinary measure means that, no, I didn't want this to happen. That only shows that, okay, that the principal, you know, is in a position to react and is in a position to discipline. It doesn't establish that the yisod, that everything that happens in the school is an expression of the will of the principal. On the contrary, if anything, it seems to point in the opposite direction. And what the Pasuk in Tehillim says, and again, it's also true. It's not just the Gzeres HaKosev. It's something that we can intuit as well. Is that the world exists because the Kodesh Baruch Hu wills it? So there can't be. It can't be that there's any corner of the Bria which doesn't reflect Ritzon Hashem. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu demonstrates that nature is a reflection of Ritzon Hashem, but nature, we know they're not voluntary agents. So the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu demonstrates to us that he controls nature and that nature is an expression and a reflection of his Ritzon, okay, I never thought the sun was a Baal Bechira. So I thought maybe the sun out of necessity has to do that. Now I know it's not out of necessity. It's because HaKadosh Baruch Hu voluntarily wills it. But we are Bali Bechira, so any demonstration over nature doesn't show any demonstration over us. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu deprives a person of his Bechira, so that's a demonstration that on every other occasion, it's because I, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, wanted you to have that Bechira. Even though, yes, paradoxically, you're even easy. Though that means that too often, Rahman Ritzlan, we abuse that gift and we abuse that blessing, but that is Ritzon Hashem, but that requires its own demonstration, that requires its own miracle, and that's what the Rambam is telling us, Uleman Sapir Shmi B'chol Oretz. If you take a look back on the second page of the original handout, at sources 4 and 5, so the psukim at the beginning of Pashas Bo say as follows: "Vayomer Hashem al Moshe Bo Paro, kani hichbadeti es libo veslev avodav, v'man shisya ososai eile v'kirbo." So, I've hardened the heart of Paro because I want Mitzrayim to be the stage on which I perform miracles. Now, goal number two. Uleman tesape ba'oznei vincha uben bincha, es asher hisalalti b'mitzrayim. I want you to tell future generations, Rashi, and we'll see in a minute the Ramban as well, agrees with Rashi, so they translate hisalalti as I played with them. I toyed with them. Ves ososai shesamti vam v'yedatam ki ani Hashem. Take a look at the Ramban here. In source 5, and then it will continue on the supplementary sheet in 5a, Rav Asai. If you see line 3 in the Ramban, V'od k'desha t'saper ato v'chol Yisrael l'doros haboim, I want that you, Moshe Rabbeinu, v'chol Yisrael, and all the Jewish people should tell all future generations koach ma'asai v'teidu ki ani Hashem. Now look at the next six words of Rosai in this Ramban. V'chol asher echbotz es av ha-shamayim v'aretz. Clearly, the Ramban is intentionally paraphrasing that same pasuk from Tillim that we just saw the Rambam quoting in Hilchos Tshuva of kol asher chofetz Hashem os av ha-shamayim v'aretz. I want you to know that everything that happens in Shamayim v'aretz is what I want. That's what happens. Kol asher echbotz, that there's no limitation on that, and it's dafka by seeing that I'm being misalel b'mitzrayim that you get that message. What does it mean that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is being misalel b'mitzrayim? Take a look 5a, Rav Asai, on the supplementary sheet. V'tam hisalalti k'ani metzachek bo. I'm playing with him. I'm toying with him. How so? Sha'ani machbid es libo. That I take away his bechira v'osa hanakomos bo. It's only when, again, in addition to all other miracles, which show HaKadosh Baruch Hu's sovereignty over the involuntary agents of nature, only when in addition there's a miracle that shows HaKadosh Baruch Hu's control of Bechira of people who are ordinarily voluntary agents, only then do you have a demonstration that there's no Dalai Lamas in the Bria, there's no corner in the Bria that isn't a reflection and an expression of Ritzon Hashem. Right? This Ramban is saying the same thing. The Hisalalti the hisalalti is the depriving him of the bechira, of reducing him to puppet status, and it's through the hisalalti that lemantedu ki ani Hashem that kol asher echbots eser b'shamayim uvaretz. Exactly this idea that we've seen in the Rambam as well. Let's try to take this a step further. So far, the answer that we've seen to the question of how to integrate the reality of human bechira with the reality of everything in the world being an expression and a reflection of its own Hashem is that, as it were, HaKadosh Baruch Hu signs a blank check. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, it's my will that people be Ba'alei Bechira, even Rachman Al-Tzlan, when that gift is abused. But L'chora, it runs even deeper than that. Again, not necessarily reflected here in the Rambam, but L'chora, it runs deeper than that. This next point is based on something I once heard in a totally different context from Rav Osband, the Rosh Yeshiva, the Telzi Yeshiva in Riverdale. Imagine for a moment an alternate course of history. Imagine that before Paro loses his Bechira, when Moshe Rabbeinu first comes to Paro, at a point when Paro still has his Bechira, imagine that Paro, of his own accord, is Chozer v'tshuva. Paro is machnia himself before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He confesses with sincerity, with remorse, with the requisite sense of shame, all this chatoim, there's a kabbalah l'hava. Just imagine the monarch of the world's only superpower. Until now, such an embodiment of rishus and denial of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Imagine his chazer v'tshuva. So what would have been? Gevalge kiddush Hashem, no? Gevalge kiddush Hashem. What would be if those rishayim in Iran would all of a sudden be chazer v'tshuva and they'd recognize that Kal Yisrael is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Am HaNivcha? Don't hold your breath. Would be a gewaldige kiddush Hashem. What happened in the end with Paro? He was an instrument for kiddush Hashem. L'man bevos mofsai be'eretz Mitzrayim, but obviously in a very different way, and in a very different fashion. But that destiny did materialize. So maybe the example of Paro in reconciling human bechira with everything in the world, even in human affairs, being an expression and reflection of its own Hashem, maybe the answer runs a little deeper as well. And maybe the answer is that on the one hand, our bechira makes all the difference in the world. Paro is the poster boy of Rishus, instead of being the world's most famous Baal Tshuva. Our Bechira makes all the difference in the world, but on the other hand, it makes no difference whatsoever. Paro was supposed to be an instrument for Kiddush Hashem. He had his Bechira, he exercised his Bechira, he abused his Bechira, and B'Sofo Shel Davar, what happened? Paro was an instrument for Kiddush Hashem. Our Bechira makes all the difference in the world. And when we exercise our Bechira, we should be aware of that. It makes all the difference in the world. But simultaneously, on another level, it makes no difference. Again, Paro exercises his Bechira. He leaves the stage of this world, again, as a paradigm of a Rosha Marusha. His Bechira makes all the difference in the world. His Bechira makes absolutely no difference. Paro was supposed to be an instrument for Kiddush Hashem. He wasn't an instrument for Kiddush Hashem. Take a look for a minute, Rabbosai, in source number 7. Source number 7 is the Ramban at the end of Parshas Ha'azinu. So the Ramban comments how when you look in the Chumash, the end of, again, paradoxically, Ha'azinu is a Shira. At the end of the Shira of Ha'azinu comes very abruptly. The Torah is detailing very, very frightening, in a very frightening way, the punishments that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to mete out to us because of our sins. And then all of a sudden, abruptly, Haninu goyim amo, kidam avadov yikom, v'nokom yoshev v'tzare v'chipad masa amo. And all of a sudden, there's a total reversal. And Haninu goyim amo, you can rejoice. Kidam avadov yikom, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to avenge all the Jewish blood shed throughout the millennia. V'nokom yoshev l'tzar, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to punish all his, capital H, adversaries. V'chipad masa amo, says the Ramban, that abrupt ending, v'hineh ein b'shira hazos t'nai b'tshuva. The Torah didn't stipulate that things turn around because of tshuva. Rak, on the contrary, the Shira Sazinu Hishtar Eidus Shena'a Soharo'os V'nuchal V'shehu Yizbarach Yaseh Banu B'tochochos Chema. Kodesh Baruch Hu will vent, Rachman Al-Tzlan, his wrath against us, Avolo Yashbis Zechreinu, but he's not going to destroy us. V'yoshu V'yisnachim V'yifra Min Ha'oivim B'charba HaKosha V'hagdol V'hachazaka V'yichapa V'chatoseinu L'man Shemo. And Kodesh Baruch Hu will atone for our sins. Im kein hashira hazos haftocha mevu'eres begeula ha'asida al korchan shel minin. The Ramban, it's a machlokes tanoim in Sanhedrin in Parak Chelek, whether or not the geula ha'asida is only going to happen if there's tshuva, or what will happen regardless. So the Ramban takes a position on that machlokes tanoim, and he says, my reading of the psukim in Parshas Ha'azinu would support the view that the Geula Asida comes about unconditionally, even without tshuva. And that's what's reflected in this abrupt culmination of history. And he says, the Geula Asida happens al korchan shel minim, the Ramban, maybe there's a double entendre here. It happens al korchan shel minim, meaning despite their denial, and despite their lack of tshuva, despite their obstructionism for the geula is going to happen. Al korch and shalminim, whether they believe it or not, whether they try to obstruct it or not. So when you read these lines in the Ramban, you wonder, so what difference does anything we make do? History, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has history on its course. The geula asida happens, ein b'shira hazos t'nai b'tshuva. The Ramban goes with that view in the Tanoim, that the Torah doesn't stipulate that there has to be tshuva in order for the Geula HaAsida to come about. So what difference is what we make do? So the answer is the same. What we do makes all the difference in the world? It makes no difference. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, if you want to be part of the process, you want to cooperate, you want to be part of the process, so then you're invited to. You don't want to be part of the process. You wanna try to obstruct it. So it will happen anyway. I'll figure out how to make it happen without your participation, without your cooperation. You can join. You can be my shluchim in and even shutfim in the process. Or you can decline. But either way, it's going to happen. Our Bechira makes all the difference in the world. Our Bechira makes no difference. And that's what the example of Paro shows. So again, when in terms of the message of this miracle, so it's not only that the whole world reflects Ritzon Hashem, because it's Ritzon Hashem that we should have Bechira. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu has things worked out that, at least on the macro level, we won't comment on the micro level, that gets too complicated, but at least on the macro level, the reconciliation is that Avraham Bechira makes all the difference, Avraham Bechira makes no difference. Now, to maybe conclude with one final tier or one final perspective on this question, but just by way of introduction, this, I don't think it lends itself to understanding. It lends itself to formulation. I don't know that it lends itself to understanding. I think everything we discussed until now can be not only formulated by but understood. The next is a mystery that I'm not sure that it can be understood. Take a look at source number 8. Kol HaNeviim, from the Rambam in Perek Zayin of Hilchos Teshuva, Kol HaNeviim Kulan Tzivu Al HaTshuva. All the Neviim command and the Mezarez us to do Tshuva. Here comes the Rambam taking the opposite view in the Tanoim from the Ramban, right? That the Rambam lines up on the other side of that Machlokes Tanoim. Ve'en Yisrael Negolun Ela B'Tshuva. And Tshuva is indispensable. The Geula Asida cannot happen, will not happen without Tshuva. Does that mean that, well, Tshuva requires Bechira, so does that mean then that the Geula Asida Rachman Al-Tzlan might not happen? Is that what's implied by saying that Tshuva is the sine qua non, Tshuva, a result, an expression of Bechira, is the sine qua non for the Geula Asida? Says the Rambam, no. L'kva hifticha Torah, so somehow or other, it's not only because HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if he wants, will override human Bechira, but somehow or other, both halves of Rabbi Akiva's famous formulation of HaKol Tzofoi V'Harushus Nasuna are completely true. We have Bechira, and yet, which makes all the difference in the world, and yet, HaKol Tzofoi, and yet, where the world's going to end up, HaKol Tzofoi, everything is HaKadosh Baruch Hu already has it planned out to the nth degree. So just to summarize, Rosai, we saw perhaps three tiers or three perspectives on the question that the Rambam poses of how do you integrate belief in Bechira with the fact that the entire Bria has to reflect and express Ritzon Hashem. We understand how the sun rising in the east is an expression of Ritzon Hashem, because Hashem decides it should rise in the east. And if HaKadosh Baruch Hu decides that the sun should stop in the middle of its circuit, so it does that. So we understand how that expresses and reflects Ritzon Hashem. And once you see one exception, you know that in all cases, it's expressing and reflecting Ritzon Hashem. The one place in the Bria where l'chora that doesn't seem to be true is in human affairs, because we have Bechira. So perspective number one is what the Rambam says, no, because the Kadosh Baruch Hu wants us to have Bechira. That's how, even when we, Rahman al-Islam, abuse our Bechira, in a paradoxical sense, that is an expression of Ritzon Hashem. Kadosh Baruch Hu wants that there should be people and that people should be Bali Bechira. That's tier number one. That's perspective number one. Tier number two is that, no, maybe the example of Paro runs deeper than that, because maybe the example of Paro also captures the paradox that it's not only that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as it were, signs away his discretion by signing a blank check. You have no idea what anyone's going to fill in over the check, and if you have enough money in your account, so then you gave away your discretion. So no, maybe it goes deeper than that. The integration of these two principles of Bechira with Kol Asher Chafetz Hashem Osa B'Shamayim V'Oretz is that, again, what Paro illustrates is his Bechira made all the difference in the world. It made no difference whatsoever. Paro, with his Bechira, could have been an instrument for Kiddush Hashem, and despite his Bechira, he ends up as that same instrument of Kiddush Hashem. And the third perspective, the one which is most cryptic and again maybe only lends itself to formulation, not to understanding, is that this paradox of Bechira making all the difference in the world and making no difference is not only because HaKadosh Baruch Hu can override our Bechira, but even when HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't override our Bechira, Ein Yisrael Nigal and Ela V'tshuva, on the one hand, Bechira makes all the difference in the world, on the other hand, HaKol Tzofoi, Kvar Hivticha Torah, that there is going to be a Geula HaSida. HaKadosh Baruch Hu.